If you've brought your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you have, turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read just a few verses this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then we'll go to the Lord together in a word of prayer. I'll give you just a moment longer to find 1 Timothy chapter 4. While you're finding 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'd like for maybe to reflect for a minute on the year. This is last Sunday of the year, the last Sunday that I'll be preaching to you in 2024. And I was just wondering what kind of a year it had been. Would you say it's been quite a year, an unexpected one? Would you say it's been a good year or a bad year, normal year or a crazy year, a hectic year or a busy year, or maybe it's been a tragic year for you? Maybe it's been one of hardship. Maybe it's been one of blessings. Whatever 2024 has brought to you, though, I bet that you're hoping this next year, 2025, that it'll be a good year. Maybe that it'll be normal. If this last year's not been normal for you, maybe you're just hoping and praying that it's a normal, calm year. I bet you're also hoping, though, that it is filled with God's blessings. But let me say this. Even if it is, even if you know, it's a wonderful year and it's calm and it's normal and it's filled with the blessings of the Lord, there are still going to be those things that will be cause pressure, create temptations, trials. I mean, realistically, there's still going to be wants and disappointments. There'll still be good days and bad days. There'll still be ups and downs. I'm just going to tell you, there'll still be tough times ahead. There always is. There always will be. But these days too, they shall pass. We'll weather them all and be the stronger for it. Have before, will again, will continue to do so until the Lord comes back. Now, there's some things that we're going to face in this coming year that, just to be quite honest with you, if we don't, as I used to say, square our shoulders and get tough, and I'm talking spiritually tough here, this time next year, there'll be some of you missing. I mean, look how many's not here this morning. Look how many's not here today that was here earlier in the year, or maybe started the year with us. Some of them have left by way of the grave. But I wonder how many of them are not here because they've allowed Satan to drag them out. Wonder how many are missing because of the flesh, right? The lust of the flesh, the urges, the desires of the flesh. Wonder how many have just letting the cares of this world take them out. Let's read here, 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and a good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Let's pray. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we just humbly come before you here this morning one more time, thanking you for the good day, the many blessings. Thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to gather here in your name one more time this year to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just continue to have your way and your will in our midst. God, that you would move here in this service in a mighty way. Lord, that you'd stir our hearts here this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just give us ears to hear what you would say by your Spirit here this morning. Eyes to see and hearts to do. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers, but we'd be doers of your word, God. And Lord, I know that there's many needs among us. I don't know what all those needs are. And even if I did, realistically, I'm not sure there's much I could do. But God, we know that you're able. There's nothing too great for you, nothing too hard for you, nothing that you do not see or know. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to search our hearts here. For the word tells us you're the searcher of hearts. And God, I'm asking, Lord, for you to minister to each one. Meet every need here this morning. Lift us up, encourage us, touch us, strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, if there is any here that need a healing touch from you, God, oh Lord, let today be the day. If there's any here that doesn't know you, any that are lost and undone, any that are separated, any that are just maybe backslidden, God, my prayer this morning is, Lord, that you would just, God, that you would just pour out that old-time Holy Ghost conviction upon them, and that you wouldn't give me peace until they'd repent. Get things right with you before it's everlasting too late. Oh, God, just have your way and your will in our midst. And, God, let me ask one more thing of you. I need your help. I can't do this without you. So Lord, I'm asking that you'd anoint me from on high, that you'd strengthen me, that you'd touch me in the body. God, that you'd clear my mind of everything but your message, your thoughts, your words. Place on my tongue the very things that you'd have me to say this morning. Help me to be your faithful servant, to do your will, deliver your word in a way that pleases you and glorifies you. And be sure and give you every bit of the glory for it. Lord, I'm asking for your anointing, your holy unction. God, we love you. We worship you. We praise your holy name. I ask it all in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. When I think about the new year, that's a time of year when people usually think about making some changes. Sometimes it's a fresh start. Sometimes it's a do-over. I don't know if, and maybe I'm just not running in the right circles, or I shouldn't say it that way. Maybe I'm not running in, yeah, I guess that's the way to say it, in the right circles to hear it anymore. But it seems like when I was younger, when I was a kid, I was all the time hearing about New Year's resolutions and stuff like that. I don't know that I hear that quite as much now, but it may be just as popular as ever. But I know this is a time of year where people make resolutions. Now, a resolution means to resolve. To resolve to do something. All right? And resolve means to come to a definite or earnest decision about something. In other words, to determine to do something. So if you make a resolution, you're resolving to do something in this new year, some sort of change, something different. you know, used to be one of the most popular, if not the most popular resolution among Americans every year, was to quit smoking. Now, I think that smoking has, the number or percentage of people that smoke have went down enough that that's still a popular resolution, but I seriously doubt, and I didn't look at the statistics on this, but I seriously doubt that it's the most popular resolution anymore. I would say the most popular resolution, if it's not number one, it'd be number two, but I bet it's number one, is to lose weight, to make healthier choices, to exercise more, to somehow become more healthy physically. I would say something in that vein would be number one. That might even cover one and two of the top resolutions. I really don't know, but I would say my guess is pretty close. You know, doctors tell us of all the benefits and how beneficial those healthier choices and exercise is. And we know, I think every one of us knows how important to our health, or at least that it is important to our health. We may underestimate how important it is to our physical health. And so, you know, I think we understand that it's important, that it's not just a gimmick or anything like that, but it is absolutely important. It's important. I mean, it affects the, you know, our mood and everything else. And I'm not one to, I've never been big on resolutions, but if we look at the word resolve, I think we probably should all resolve to do what we can to be healthier, to exercise more, to, you know, to just, you know, get more movement and to eat better and things like that. I do. I think we should purpose this year or and resolve ourselves to this. But I think more importantly, we should resolve ourselves this year to spiritual exercise. I mean, listen again here to verse 7 and 8 of what I read to you. But now remember, Paul, Apostle Paul, is who God used to write this letter, wrote it to Timothy, a young pastor, and he says here, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, right? Old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, I've never, and I don't know that it's as popular now as what it was, but I know a few years ago it was popular to have a life verse. I'm not really sure that I ever understood exactly what that meant or was supposed to do, but people would have, I mean, I'm all for, you know, memorizing and meditating upon scripture, so if that helps do that, that's fine. That's whatever helps you live it, you know. I mean, it's not enough to just know it, you've got to live it also. So if that helps in that, then, you know, I've got no problems with that at all. It's just not anything I ever really did until I come across this verse. Bodily exercise profiteth little. I thought, that right there, that's my life verse. If I'm going to have one stitched on a Bible cover or a pillow or whatever, that'll be it right there. Bodily exercise profiteth little. I can live by that one. All joking aside, remember, Paul and Timothy are ministering in a Roman world that is heavy with that and with the Greek culture. I mean, this is where the Olympics, you know, come from and originated, was out of that culture. And so there was a group of people, obviously, within that culture that was fanatical with bodily exercise. As a matter of fact, the Greek word that's translated exercise there in that passage is actually the word that we get gymnasium from. If you look it up, you'll actually recognize it. It is really close to our current word of gymnasium. You'll recognize it immediately. But anyways, that's absolutely what he's referring to there. He's referring to exercising in the sense of training, like training for the games, for instance, training for competition, that kind of thing. And he is saying here that there is some benefit to that, right? But it is more important to exercise godliness, right? To eat right and exercise, I mean, no doubt, that's one of the best things that we can do for our physical health. No question about that whatsoever. But here's the real difference. Physical exercise can only benefit us in this current life now. Whereas spiritual exercise, it has benefits both in this current present life, but it also has benefits in what you might say the life to come, in eternity, right? After this life is done, right? Spiritual exercise, right? Physical exercise has some temporary value in this life, but spiritual exercise has eternal value for all things. That is the comparison that he's making here. That's why he's saying that physical exercise profiteth, or bodily exercise profiteth a little bit, right? Is because it only has benefits in the here and now, whereas spiritual exercise has eternal benefits. And in our society today, right, we are putting more and more, and there's a greater and greater, you know, obesity, weight problem, no doubt about that here in our culture in the United States. And in our society, there is a lot of emphasis that is being put on physical fitness. But I'm telling you this morning that our spiritual fitness is far more important. And why is it? Why is it that the things that benefit us the most, we devote the least time and effort to? So, hopefully by this point, you're asking the question, how do we become spiritually fit? If we're supposed to exercise ourselves spiritually and become spiritually fit, I told you a while ago that we're going to face some things that we're going to have to square our shoulders and toughen up. I'm talking spiritually. Toughen up, get ready to face it, right? To train for it. To become spiritually fit. How do we do that? Well, let's look again at verses 6 and 7 where we started out. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Nourished up, made strong. By, in other words, is what it's saying. So the first thing that it says here in the middle of verse 6 is nourished up in the words of faith. Let me put it to you this way. We need to be spending time every day right here in the Word of God. Right here in the Bible, we need to be. You want to know how to become spiritually fit and how to exercise yourself to godliness? We each one of us need to spend time daily in the Word of God, in the Bible. This is how you build your spiritual muscles. That's how they're built up. I don't know if you realize this or remember this. I've told you this before. There's 1,189 chapters right here in this book. Right here in the Bible, there's 1,189 chapters. And it amazes me how many Christians have never read the whole thing. It is more accessible and easier to read and to hear than in any other point in history. As a matter of fact, I would say pretty much every one of us, or nearly every one of us, carries a cell phone around with us all day, every day. Contains the Bible. Matter of fact, it'll even read it to you. We are to the point that we are without excuse whatsoever. It amazes me, and I've said this for years now, but it always amazed me how many Christians had been Christians longer than I'd been alive and never even been all the way through the Bible one time. It amazes me how many Christians, the only time they ever even crack open the Bible is when they're here at church and they open up to find where the preacher is reading to read along with him. And then wonder why the old devil just chews them up and their family up. Destroys them. Do you know that you can read? People are, it's almost like some of us, if we allow ourselves, are intimidated by the size of the Bible. Like it's just some huge, you know, volume of books, which it is a volume of books, and it's not a small book by any means. You're not going to sit down and read the whole thing in one afternoon, but it's not that big. It doesn't take that long to read it. You can very easily read the whole thing, cover to cover, every last word, in one year by reading just a little over three chapters a day. I think if you take 1,189 and divide it by 365, you get just a little over three chapters in a day, three and a quarter or something like that. Most people can do that in just about 15 minutes a day. Now, it depends on how slow or fast you read, but listen to me. What if you were just extremely slow at reading and it took you 30 minutes? Or worse yet, what if you have trouble reading or can't read? Let your phone read it to you. Follow along. You'd be shocked how much you might learn. Do you know, at that little over 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes, something like that, depending on exactly how fast you read, whether you struggle reading or whether you're someone who is slower or faster, whatever the case may be, that's reading the entire Bible in somewhere between 70 to 90 hours. It's not as difficult as what you might think. And I'm telling you here this morning, if that's not on your radar, on your plans to do this year, let me strongly, strongly encourage you, urge you to do that this year. To spend at least a little bit of time in the Word of God, in the Bible, every day. And listen to me. When you set your mind to that, when you resolve to do that, stick with it. Stay with it. A lot of people just read front to back. And they just start at Genesis 1 and just start reading through. And about the third book in, about Leviticus or so, they get bogged down, definitely by Numbers. They get bogged down, and that's as far as they ever go. You know, I just wonder how many start and never finish. A lot. And listen, sometimes what happens is you start out really good. As a matter of fact, Jennifer has got, and she's put out back there already, a reading plan with a checklist. And it gives you a little bit from the, if I remember right, the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs kind of mixes it up a little bit for you. Maybe a different way if you've not read it that way. A little spot to check off if, as you've done each day. Tells you how long that day's reading on average takes. Again, depending on how fast or slow of a reader you are. And a lot of people will do. And there's a lot of other reading plans besides that one. That's just one that she happens to like. But there's a lot of other ones out there as well. And a lot of people start them. And I've been guilty of this before. And then something happens and you miss a day. And then something happens and you miss a few days. And then you get way behind and you get discouraged. And next thing you know, you just quit. Listen, don't do that. If you get off your reading schedule, if you miss a day, if you miss a few days, don't let it discourage you. I mean, if you just missed a day and you can easily catch up later in the week, then by all means, catch up and get back on track. But don't let that become a source of stress. If some things have happened and you've gotten, you know, you've gotten further off and there's, you know, it just seems like too much to get caught back up, don't worry about it. Don't get caught back up then. The important thing is that you just keep reading. Right? Just focus on getting back to reading the Word of God, even if it means finishing later, even if it means taking a little bit of extra time. And most importantly, don't skip any parts. We're awful bad about there's certain parts that we're like, don't need this, not for me. God didn't go through what He did, and good men didn't die to get this to you in your hands to get you parts that you don't need. Read it all. Every last word. Another way that you can think about this, if you'd rather count chapters, some people are like that, instead of time. If you read 3 chapters every day and 5 on Sunday, that gets you through the whole Bible in a year with a few days to spare. And you'll be surprised just how easily it is to read through the Bible. And you'll be shocked at what God and the Holy Spirit, through His Holy Spirit, will take and do with you and through your heart in that. Or maybe you should consider, maybe you've done that several times and you need a little different approach and you want to add some depth to your Bible reading. That's good too. As a matter of fact, that's my plan this year. And we need to take and spend some time reflecting on God's Word, what we've read there. That's why I'm actually, me personally, taking a little bit different than the traditional approach this year. Because I'm hoping that it'll add some more depth to my devotional time. I actually think that accountability might really be what some of us need in order to stick with it. I mean, I've even thought about, starting some sort of Bible reading group, club, whatever you want to call it, to help and help get us accountable and to reflect on and discuss what you've read through the week. You know, I don't know. All I know is whatever approach you take this year, bathe it in prayer. Saturate it in prayer. Pray before you even start reading. Pray. And do your reading. Pray then. Pray about what you read. Whenever started having Bible readings, reading of Scripture in the middle of the service, I started asking whoever did that when they, after they would read, to pray and pray about what they just read. Because we need to be thinking about and we need to be reflecting on the Word of God and what we've read there. It's too easy to scan your eyes over the page while your mind is somewhere else. So, first of all, exercise yourself to godliness. How to get spiritually fit? You're going to have to do the hard work, right? That's just like physical exercise, right? If you're going to get physically fit, you're going to have to do the hard work and put in a little bit of time. If you're going to get spiritually fit, you're going to have to do the hard work and put in a little bit of the time that it takes to get in the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to saturate yourself in the Word of God. Second thing that he says here in verse 6, right? Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. Good doctrine. That word doctrine, that gets thrown around in our modern church here. It's been treated as a bad word, and it's not a bad word on its own. Now, if you're talking just as Jesus did of the doctrine of the Pharisees or the doctrine of men, sure, absolutely, that's a negative thing. But there's a lot of places in the Scripture where that word doctrine is used, and it's talking about the doctrine of God, right? The doctrine here in the Scripture, right? It's a good thing. All the word doctrine means is the teaching, the instruction. So if it's a teaching and instruction of the Word of God, which is exactly what Paul is encouraging Timothy, imploring Timothy here to do, then that's a good thing. And so anyways, I mean, so doctrine is what you teach. Now think about this just for a second. He says, and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. What that means to us is the same thing that it says in Hebrews 11:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's gathering together for worship, for Bible study. I mean, if you think about it, if there's no teaching, there's no doctrine, right? I mean, because that's literally what doctrine means. And so anyways, Look what he's warning here, right? I didn't read the first five verses, but go back to verse 1 for just a minute. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, all right? So this is a prophecy of the end times, the last days that I believe we live in now. And he says the Spirit, right, and that's with a capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, right, speaks, right? So in other words, prophesies expressly, specifically, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some will walk away. Some will turn away from the true faith in Jesus Christ. And some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Right? Devils, demons. He's warning Timothy. The time is coming where they're not going to listen to good, sound doctrine. They're going to be seduced. They're going to be led away by bad teaching. And the spirit behind that is Satan. See the contrast between the doctrine of devils in verse 1 and the good doctrine in verse 6. The good doctrine is what the Bible teaches versus what men twist things to mean. So, what does that mean to us? What's the next thing here in spiritual fitness? Well, if I would continue to make the analogy to physical fitness, if you're really serious about becoming physically fit, you need some sort of trainer. You need somebody to help and give you some guidance. You need to make sure spiritually that you get under and that you stay under some good teaching and good Bible teaching and good Bible preaching. And whatever you hear, don't just accept it at face value, but check it out with the Bible. Make sure that whatever it is the preacher is teaching you or is preaching, that it's right, that it agrees with the Word of God. And sometimes I wonder if some good accountability might help us. Right? It might help us. I've got a preacher friend that likes to say, spit out the bones. That might help us spit out some of those bones. In other words, help keep us on track with good, solid, biblical teachings. And that kind of points me to this last thing here. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. In other words, stay away from the junk, the spiritual junk, the bad teaching, the bad preaching, the false stuff. The stuff that focuses on yourself instead of focusing on Jesus and on others. There are so many false doctrines out there, false gospels, false teachers. And it's more accessible than it's ever been. I want to be careful how I address this and say this, because I don't want to give you the wrong idea. Because there are certain groups out there that will say, oh, don't listen to anything but what we say. There are certain groups out there that will say, don't ever read your Bible or study your Bible on your own, or don't read it or study it without our study guide or our commentary on it or us telling you what it means. That should be a huge red flag. That's what cults and things like that do. Okay? But at the same time, man, you can't listen to just anybody and everybody. Because there is so much garbage out there. And it's right at our fingertips. It's easily accessible. I would say the preachers thought, back in what, maybe starting in the 60s or 70s, when you started getting all the TV preachers and TV evangelists, and there started being a lot of garbage coming out of that, and a lot, for their own belly was their own gods, as the Word of God says, and, they were just concerned about, lining their own pockets and benefiting themselves and building themselves up. And I would say the pastors and preachers then thought, man, it's worse now than ever, never dreaming what it would be like today, how accessible. Because just as accessible as that Bible is to you that I just mentioned, that phone in your pocket, so is this garbage, this spiritual junk that I'm talking about. There's a lot of good, solid Bible teachers and Bible preachers out there. There's a lot of bad ones too. You need some discernment. Pray and ask God to give you some discernment. Be careful who you listen to. Be sure that you check it out. What if, think about the hypothetical again, going back to the comparison he made here. What if you were eating something, being fed something, and being told that is really healthy, really good for you? Doesn't have a lot of calories. Got a lot of protein, a lot of vitamins in it. I mean, it's just like a superfood. It's just really good for you. And unexpectedly, you like it. Tastes good. Usually what's good for you don't taste good. But anyways. Not always. What if you found something like that, though? And you think, man, this is what I've been missing all my life. I'm just going to eat this. You know, this is what I'm going to eat, get my, you know, what I need from, my fuel from. But actually, they were lying to you. Just marketing technique. They just wanted to sell their garbage. Financially benefit from it. And actually doesn't care about your health. Doesn't care about you at all. As a matter of fact, you're nothing to them. They don't even know you exist and could care less what happens to you. They just want your money. And are perfectly fine with lying to you to get it. And actually, right, it wouldn't be so bad if what you thought you were eating was good for you if it was just nothing. But actually, it was bad for you. Actually, it was loaded with all that, you know, bad stuff that you shouldn't have. And maybe even poisoning you, killing you. And then all of a sudden you're in this situation where you think you're doing everything right. And you're spending all this money. But yet you're getting, instead of getting healthier and healthier, you're getting more unhealthy and more unhealthy. Some of you might be thinking I'm speaking too close to things going on in our world right now. But listen. Spiritually. So many of these teachers and preachers out there, they know that if they will say something interesting, clickbait, it doesn't even have to be clickbait, this bad teaching, these things that appeal to the flesh, right? Just like in my analogy, the stuff that tastes good, right? These things that appeal to the flesh, right? You know, like if you send us a little bit of money, God will give you a whole bunch of money. You know, that type of thing. Tickle your ear, whatever it may be. And for some of us, it's, you know, that's not what it is. It's not money that would get to us. Some it's health. Some it's, you know, it's a secret hidden biblical diet. For others, it's just a, you know, scratches a curiosity. You know, oh, there's a code hidden here in the scripture. Or, oh, you know, here, you know, hidden is some secrets previously unknown to all of humanity and all of the church. Whatever it is. And it sucks us in. And we think what we're doing is good for us spiritually. It's actually spiritually poisoning us. Paul is warning Timothy about those teachers and that kind of thing. He's warning us about the same kind of spiritual junk, and it is everywhere. I'm telling you, resolve this year to get in the Word of God firsthand for yourself, not secondhand. And then get under and stay under good, solid preaching and teaching the Word of God, but yet check everything that they say. I'm telling you right now, I've been wrong about things in the past, and I'm sure I'll be wrong again in the future. Every preacher, every teacher is, right? None of us are perfect. And then stay away from the junk. Cut all the junk out. Determine to be as healthy as possible. And then look at what he says here in verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Put that training to use. What good does it do to get spiritually strong, right? What good does it do to train and to develop those muscles but never use those muscles. So train, develop those spiritual muscles, and then put them to work. Pray, witness, testify, teach, preach, tell people about Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher from a little over a century ago, once said, "It's the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world." What are you doing? What are you doing to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to those around you who are either spiritually dead or are sick and dying? You've got what they need. You've got the message, the only one that will save them. What are you doing to take it to them? And when you determine that you are going to do what God's called us to do and take that to them, you're going to face some resistance. We need to be spiritually strong, tough. That's why we need to train daily, spiritually. Read the Word of God. Pray. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Be determined, be resolved this year. I'm going to get spiritually healthier than I've ever been before. Because the days and times that we live in call for it. Because of the spiritual condition of my friends and my family, it's necessary. Would you stand to your feet? I want to open the altar and I want to give you an opportunity to come this morning. Spirit of God dealing with you, you just come right on. You got a need, you got a burden, you just come on this morning. Whatever it is, don't miss this opportunity. You just come on.